Let's all kneel together in prayer. Commit the service into God's hands. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again in Jesus' name. We come with gratefulness in our hearts, Lord. We come with thanksgiving, O Father. We thank you that you've set us free. We thank you that you saved us. O God, I thank you that you delivered me from so many of those things that were quoted tonight. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I thank you that salvation is real and it's full and it's free and it can change our lives. Oh, Father, we pray tonight that you'll give us the wisdom to be able to guide our children in such a way that we can deliver them from so many of these things that we've heard this evening. Hatefulness and jealousy and smut and garbage and all the things that are out there, Father. Oh, let us rather dedicate our hearts, Lord, to fill our children full of that which is just and right and holy and lovely and pure. Oh, Father, we ask you to meet with us tonight. God, I pray that you'll give us the spirit of a teacher tonight. And I pray that you'll give the congregation an attentive ear, O Lord. I pray you'll give them an attentive ear in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn this evening to Psalm. Just a couple of verses to read in introduction. Turn to Psalm 112. Helpful meditations on child training. I trust they'll be a help to you this evening. Psalm 112 and Psalm 128, verse 1 through 4, they are my testimony. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall have a blessing on them. The generation of the man and the woman who walks with an upright heart will have a blessing upon it. That's a promise from God. Isn't that a blessed promise? All we've got to do is just walk with God and fear Him and live with an upright heart, and God will put a blessing on our children. Amen. They get a special blessing just because we choose to walk with God. Over to Psalm 128, verse 1 through 4. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. There it is again. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now in these verses that we've read, as I read them, I get a picture of a man who's been blessed. I get the picture of a home that's been blessed. I get the picture of a man who enjoys life. He loves his children. He enjoys walking after God's commandments. He's just doing all right. He's having a good time. Life's a blessing to him. He enjoys living. He enjoys God. He enjoys his children. He loves his wife. He enjoys working. He's blessed by God. That's the picture that I get when I read these verses. And I'd just like to give my testimony a little bit this evening as I lead into these helpful meditations on child training. I'd like to give my testimony about the home. I know I've been pretty heavy this week. I've said a lot of pretty strong things. I've been hard on you. I've said a lot of things that maybe they weighed you down, and you may wonder how it is with me. Well, I'd just like to give you my testimony. One of the greatest joys of my life is being a father and a husband. I find it to be a great delight to be a father and a husband. Having and training children is fun. It is not a burden to me. It's fun. It's one of the delights of my life. It's one of those things that I find myself sitting back and saying, God, can it get any better? I know it's good and I know it's getting gooder, but God, can it get gooder yet than it already is? Having and training children is fun. It's not a burden. I don't do it out of duty. Now, sometimes I do it because it's right. But overall, it's the joy and the blessing of my life to have children and have that God had given them to me and have the opportunity to guide them and train them. It is just a blessing. I love it. I love it. It brings a life that is filled with blessings. It brings a life that's filled with love. It brings a life that's filled with honor. A life that's most rewarding. It brings a life of diversity and challenges. It brings all of those things. My heart goes out many times to people who are burdened down with their children. My heart goes out. If you're one of those tonight, my heart goes out to you. If you're burdened down with them. If you're just doing it because you know you're supposed to. If you're just doing it because you gotta get through this thing. My heart goes out to you. To some, it's a burden. To some, it may be a great frustration to you. To some, you may do it just simply out of duty. I mean, morning by morning, you get up and you sit in front of those children and you have devotions because it's right to have devotions. And morning by morning, you sisters, you get up and you fix the meal for the family and you go through the motions with the children and you do it because it's your duty to do it. And if you're in that place tonight, I don't fault you. God bless you. It's right to do it because it's right to do it. But there's a higher plane than that that God wants you to live on. There's a higher plane than duty. There's the plane of love and excitement and joy and blessing and delight to do it. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in His commandments. Well, my testimony tonight is this. It's not every commandment that I delight greatly in. I've got a lot of things that I need to learn, and I've got a lot of needs in my life, but I can say this commandment about raising children, I delight greatly in it. It's fun. I enjoy it. And I just want that for every one of you. However, when I first began to face my responsibilities as a father, I didn't want it. I did not want it. It got in the way of my life, I thought. When God began to first show me how much I was failing in my home, I thought I was a pretty good father. I was a very busy preacher. I was away most of the time. I got up early in the morning and stayed up late every night. And for the most part, I spent about 30 minutes with my children a day, and I thought I was being a real good daddy. I'd sit them on my knee. I'd talk to them a little bit. I'd sing them a little song. I'd pick them up when I came home at night. And that was about all I did for my children. And I thought I was a pretty good daddy, and I thought I loved my children. Until God put me in the home with those children all the time for about a year and a half. And I wanted to read my Bible, and the children were there. And I wanted to go and pray and fast, and the children were there. And I wanted to go do what I wanted to do, and the children were there. And all of a sudden, slowly, it began to dawn on me, I don't much care for these children. They are a bother. I mean, I got things to do. I got a career. I mean, I'm a preacher, and there's a world out there to save, and these children are a bother. That's how I looked at it. But I opened my heart to God, and God's Spirit began to turn the heart of this Father unto my children. And I started facing my needs, and I started facing my responsibilities, and I started saying, Amen, Lord, okay. They are a bother, but why are they a bother? Well, they're not doing right, and they're not in order. Well, there's got to be a reason why they're not in order. God, would you please teach me why they're not in order and how I can help them to be in order? And little by little by little, I began to open up my heart and let the Spirit of God turn my heart unto my children. And I believe with all my heart that God is still doing that in these days we live in. And any father who is not opening his heart to that Spirit of God who is turning his heart to his children, you're going to be a frustrated father. But God turned my heart to my children. And it was interesting how it worked. Once He turned my heart to my children, that in turn turned the hearts of my children toward me. And all of a sudden I started getting blessings and honor and special attention. And, oh, this child training wasn't so bad after all. In fact, I kind of liked it. And the more I turned my heart to my children, and the more I poured my life into them, and I started giving up the hobbies and giving up the special things I like to do, and I even stopped going down in the basement sometimes to study my Bible and faced my responsibilities and gave myself away in the area of my home, the more it became a great blessing, and the more the children's hearts were turned to me, and all of a sudden I realized, hey, I really love these children. This is fun. I enjoy training the children. And I became a daddy. My children got a daddy. Your children can be one of the greatest blessings of your life if you will simply become a student of child training. A student of child training. Imagine the frustration of jumping on a combine and trying to operate it out there in the field if you don't know how to work one. Imagine the frustration of trying to build a house without the knowledge of building a house. Imagine the frustration and utter fear trying to fly an airplane without the ability to fly one. Well, aside from the illustration of the airplane, you'd be glad to get it done, wouldn't you? If somebody gave you a combine and said, there's the field, go out and reap the harvest. If somebody said, I want you to build that house, go and build it. You would just be glad to get it done. You'd probably get it done. It wouldn't be done real well, but you'd get it done. And you'd be glad to get it done, wouldn't you? Many times, that's exactly how fathers and mothers feel when they finally get it done. I'm done. I got them reared. But many times, the children look like that house that got built by a man who didn't know how to build a house. Amen? So did they really get it done? No, they didn't. I believe many times parents are frustrated with their children simply because they don't know how to build the building. They simply don't know how. So my plea to you, and I know I've made the plea already, but I'll make it again tonight, is that you just get in school. If you don't know how to run the combine, go study. If you don't know how to build a house, go study. You can learn how to build a house. And if you don't know how to raise those children, if it's a frustration to you, study. Become a student. There is no difference at all between me and thee. None at all. In fact, you got a better start than I. I'm just an old hippie. You got a better start than I, many of you. Become a student. Anything we become a student of, we will learn. My heart is that you just be stirred up. To say, okay, I don't know all the answers, but I'm going to learn them. I'm going to become a student. I'm going to make it a priority. I'm going to find out what I'm doing wrong. I'm going to look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it. And look for answers and search them out until I get an answer. And when I find out how to build the stairway, then I'm going to learn how to hang a door. And when I've learned how to hang the door, I'm going to learn how to put the cupboards in. You see what I'm saying? Just as simple as that. God wants you to. God is calling us to become students, even if you are 30 years old or 40. So let's get back in school. And that's what I plan to do tonight, is just have some classes here. I've categorized this a little bit. A lot of questions came my way concerning discipline. I knew they would. That one always brings the most questions. So I want to share a few things with you about discipline. I don't know if I'll give them in the form of questions, but I want to share them with you about discipline. Number one, the most important thing about discipline is being consistent. If there's ever one thing that I hear echoed out of most parents when they begin to face the matter of discipline, it's this. They say, I am not consistent, and that's where I'm wrong. Most parents that I meet will say, I know what you're talking about. That's not a new truth to me, but I'm just not consistent. So, how do you get consistent? Well, to be consistent in disciplining your children, you need to be self-controlled. And self-control comes from God. We need the Spirit of the living God working in our lives every day so that we can be self-controlled enough to do what we know has to be done. Consistent discipline. Inconsistent discipline will distort your authority in your home. Consistent discipline will establish it without hardly a word. By the way, that's one of the marks of maturity, is consistent discipline in your home. Number two, what is the mother's place in discipline? Should a mother spank the children? How should the mother spank the children? Well, I feel that whenever a father possibly can, he needs to be the one who spanks the children. Whenever he can. If the father's home, then the father should do the spanking. However, many times fathers are not home. Mothers spank the children. And if I could just say this to you mothers, God bless every one of you for your desires to be a meek and quiet woman and to be feminine and to be soft and all those things. But in this area, you need to get some grit. You need to get some holy grit in you and some firmness. Here's what often happens, and I hear this, it comes like a broken record back to me. And it usually comes from mothers. I don't know what to do with discipline. My child is good when daddy's home, but when daddy leaves, I cannot handle him. I can't control him. And I know what's wrong. Mama spanks different than daddy spanks. Mama doesn't spank as hard as daddy spanks. Mama doesn't spank as consistently as daddy spanks. That's what's wrong. And all the mothers are smiling. That is what's wrong. In this area of discipline, mothers, you need to get some grit in you. You need to get some grit in you. It's all right to be firm. It's all right to put that children over the knee or put that child on the bed and get that stick out there and give them a spanking and give them a good one. I'll tell you what, they'll walk away from it with a new fear for mama that they need to have. Many mothers do not have authority in their home because they fail in this one area right here. They do not establish their authority by the proper use of the rod. Am I right, mothers? Let me see your hands if I'm right. There's a few more. They're going up a little more. Should a mother spank the children? Yes. Yes, a mother should spank the children. Should the mother spank the children the same way father does? Yes, indeed. And if you don't know how to do it, you sit in on a few sessions while father does it, and you make sure you do it the same way he does. In fact, you'll have a divided home if you're not careful. The children will think, daddy spanks hard, mama doesn't spank very hard, and they'll go mama's way, and you've got a division in your home. Shouldn't be. It's dangerous, in fact. I'm afraid many times feminism has hurt our homes. Too much of an emphasis on being a soft, petite, feminine, quiet, meek lady. Too much of that. You read Proverbs 31 a little while and see what kind of a woman you see in there. She's got some grit about her. She's got some strength in her arms. She's got some strength in her loins. And I believe it's right in times of discipline and authority for that sweet, chaste, meek mother to get a firm, furrowed eyebrow and say, son, you go to your room. You're going to get a spanking. I think it's right for a mother to do that. And then back those firm words up with a good paddling. Let them say, boy, mom spanks just as hard as dad. Because let's be real honest about it. In this day and age, in this society we live in, dad is not home a lot of the time. And if dad is not home a lot of the time, what happens to the children for all those hours that dad is not home? They get left go. It's not good. All right, number three. A lot of questions come my way about strong-willed children. They say, I've got a strong-willed child. Let me see how many of you think you have a strong-willed child. Raise your hands. Let's see. All right. You have been blessed. You have been blessed. There's nothing wrong with a strong-willed child. A lot of boys are strong-willed child. God made them that way. Boys are going to be leaders. And God needs some leaders with some strong wills. There's nothing wrong with a strong-willed child. Now, you will have a little extra work to do with that little fella. But there's nothing wrong with a strong-willed child. All you have to do is bring that strong will into subjection to your will, and then you've got a blessed strong-willed child. Amen? There's nothing wrong with a strong-willed child. But you will have to do some things a little different. You'll have to emphasize some of the Scriptures more than other Scriptures if you have a strong-willed child. And let me just encourage you. You will wonder sometimes whether the Bible works or not if you have a strong-willed child. You'll spank that child and spank that child and spank that child, and it seems like you're not getting anywhere at all. But it really will have its effect. It may not have its effect in exactly the same way it does with other children, but it will have its effect. Just stay at it. Just be consistent. Daniel was a strong-willed child. And we wondered sometimes if we were ever going to make it. We just wondered if we were ever going to make it with this boy. He'd run around in the room. You couldn't catch him when it was time to get a spanking. He'd jump up and down. He'd holler. He'd kick. He'd fuss. He'd do all those things. And we didn't know how to control the little fella. But we just pled with God and said, God, we know Your Word is right. We're going to do what's right. And we pray that You'll take care of it. And it worked out all right. He's still a strong-willed child, but his will is under subjection. And that'll be a blessing to God someday. So if you've got a strong-willed child, praise God and go after it. Don't be discouraged. Don't think it won't work. Another question. Should we discipline our children in public? I don't recommend it. I don't recommend that you discipline your children in public. But I'll say this. You need to take care of it as soon as you get home. You need to take care of it as soon as you have an opportunity to take care of it. And many times if you have to discipline your children in public, it shows a great need. Because a child should be brought to the place where they obey Your Word just like that. And that eliminates all discipline in public. But if you have a child that keeps getting out of order in public, I would recommend that you give them the discipline as soon as you can, and then you face the fact that you're failing at home. Here's another one. How old do you spank profitably? How old should they be when you stop spanking them? Well, the Bible doesn't say. And where the Bible doesn't say, I don't think we should say. However, I can give you a little bit of insight in principle only here tonight. Number one. I believe if you discipline your children properly, the way that we've been speaking this week, from little up, you should be done with the spankings by about the age of 12. I think you should be done. I think they should have shooken off childhood and strapped on adulthood by the time they're 12 years old. And they shouldn't need that. However, if you haven't done it right, and you have a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old, I do think that it's profitable at times to still use the rod on them. Although I don't think you can do it like you do a small child. Every time they get out of order, get the stick out and spank them. You cannot do that. But there is some profit in using the rod occasionally on a child that's 15, 16 years old. And don't quote me on the age. There is some profit in that. But for the most part, you parents who have children that are getting older, you may as well just count it this way. You've just been put into the ministry of prayer, of teaching, of admonition, of guidance. You've just been put into the ministry. And God can give you the wisdom to know how to work with those children as they're getting older. And God will work with them with you if you'll keep in that place where the heavens are open over your life. God will give you the wisdom in order to work with them. All right, the next point, I'd like to share a little about the progression in discipline. When I stand up here and hold this big stick up here, why, it makes a lot of people question, who do you use that thing on? Well, here's a little how we do it at our house. We start by the simple slap of the hand and usually progress from there to the using of two fingers on the back of the leg, like this. And by the way, that's plenty. That doesn't feel good on the back of the leg of a little child. If you take your two fingers and slap them on the back of the leg a couple of times, that will be enough to shock them into reality that they have done something wrong. So from there, we move up as the children are getting older. Little Hannah, she's 2.5 years old. We use a ruler. It's not a cheap ruler. It's a firm ruler, but it's a ruler. We use that on her. Then we have a stick that's a little bit longer and a little bit wider and a little bit thicker than a ruler that we go to. And then we end up with something like this. Only it's blue and it's not made out of light pine. But it's something like this is what we end up with. And the children all say from the age of 5 on up, that's what we use on them. So we progressively increase the severity of the discipline according to the age of the child. We are not out to hurt our children and do any harm to them. We just simply want to train them in a way that they can bring honor and glory to God. Which brings another question up that someone asked. What about the blueness of the wound? What do you do if your child has a bruise on their bottom after you're done? Well, I don't want to just throw that thing out. I think that you need to be very careful and wise if you find bruises showing up on your child's bottom every time you spank them. But if occasionally bruises show up there, I wouldn't worry about it. I believe the Scripture is speaking to the training of the children when it says the blueness of the wound will cleanse away evil. There's nothing wrong with a bruise on the bottom occasionally. However, you do need to be careful in these days when we seem to think we've got to run to the doctor so often. You run to the doctor with a bruised bottom on a child and there might be a little trouble from it. So just a word of caution there. Another point in the area of discipline, I just speak a little bit about Susanna Wesley's quiet, orderly home. She wrote this testimony about her home. Because I use the rod of correction, there is very little crying, very little loud noise, and very little arguing in our home. In fact, at times you even wonder if there are children in the home. That was Susanna Wesley's testimony. She did not have a home that was filled with crying and loud noises and hollering and running around and all those things. She did not have a home like that. She had a quiet, orderly home. She had many, many children in there. She needed a quiet, orderly home. Can you imagine what would happen if you had 12 children and they had all grown up with a foolish spirit in them that had never been dealt with, and they were all running wild and doing this and that and wrestling and rolling on the floor and yelling and crying and arguing and, oh, what chaos! If you have a home like that, I can see why you're burdened down. But God wants to give you rest in your home. In fact, the Bible says, you chasten your children and you'll have rest in your home. All right, another point in the area of discipline. I'd like to encourage you to draw lines in the children's minds. Children have two lines in their mind, and children are very smart. Number one, they have in their mind what you would like them to do. And number two, they have in their mind what you will allow them to do. Let me say that again. They have two lines in their mind. Number one, what you would like them to do. And number two, what you will allow them to do. Children are not dumb. They have got you sized up. If you're one who warns and warns and warns and then warns and then spanks, that child knows exactly when that voice goes up, and that's when that child will go and do what they're supposed to do. They've got you figured out. Since they've got you figured out, draw the lines clearly in their minds so that they know where the line is. And you say, well, where is the line? Well, someone said to me once, how do you get a child to sit still? And I said back to them, how do you get your child from running in the street? Well, they thought about that for a minute. They said, well, I don't let them run in the street. Well, what do you do if they run in the street? Well, I spank them. That's why. Well, why? Well, they get hurt if they run out in the street. A car would run over them. Well, I said, that's exactly how I teach my children to sit. I don't let them run around. Oh, okay. I draw the line in their mind. You see, the world, they put a fence around the yard if they don't want their children to run in the street. But God's people ought not to have to put a fence in the yard to keep the children from running the street. Put a fence in their mind. An imaginary fence. And brethren and sisters, if you put that fence there, it'll be 10 feet tall. That little one you have around your yard is nothing compared to the one you can put in their mind. I mean, they'll be running across the yard after a ball and just like that. There'll be an imaginary fence there that'll stop them right there at that street. And it's put there with this. In fact, you don't even have to use that if you just properly train them. I don't think we've ever spanked any of our children for running in the street. But we drew the line in their mind. And that's what we need to do. We need to draw the lines in their mind. And you can draw as many of them as you want. If you don't want your children to hit, draw a line in their mind. The first time you see the hand go up, go after it. The second time you see it, go after it. You probably won't see it the third time. The line will be drawn in their mind. Stomping the feet. Maybe some of you have children that pitch a fit when they don't get their way and stomp their feet and maybe fall on the floor and kick. Oh, you don't do that. You don't do that. Absolutely not. You only do it once. Draw the line in their mind. It's very simple. Maybe you have children that won't eat their food. And they pick around at it, you know, and push some off the plate here and drop some on the floor. And, you know, all the different ways they try to get around the thing. And you just let it go and let it go and let it go. Well, if you want those children to eat that food all gone, they can learn it. In fact, you bring over to my house and I'll have them doing it in 3 days. Licking their plate just as clean as could be. It's very simple. Draw the line. See, they know. They know what you want, but they also know what you'll let them get away with. They've got you figured out. They read you like a book. I'm giving your secrets away, children. I'm giving them away tonight. Isn't that right, children? You know what Mom and Dad expect, don't you? Let me see your hands if I'm right. Let me see your hands. Come on, you honest children. There's a few of them putting them up. That's right, Matthew. You children know that I'm telling the truth. The smartest children in this room are the children that go to their mom and dad after these meetings and say, Mom, Dad, do it right. I'm giving you the go-ahead. In fact, it's very interesting to me how many parents come back to me and say, my children love the tape on discipline. Those children listen to it over and over again. They'll stop the thing in the middle and say, I don't hear any amens coming out of Mom and Dad over there. The children know. I've had Chicago children, ghetto children, come to me when I was working with the ghetto children and say, Mr. Denny, would you give me a spanking? My mom and dad never spanked me and I need one. Will you give me one? I've had them do it many times when I work with the ghetto children in Chicago. Children know they need it. You help them. Draw the lines in their mind. Someone said, in a question, do you ever warn your children or do you just spank them when they do wrong? Well, if we're in the middle of training on a certain issue, then they get warnings. For example, let's just take the example of Hannah and hitting. If Hannah lifts her hand and hits, then we're going to sit her down and we're going to instruct her. First of all, Hannah, we don't hit around here. That is bad. And then a day later, we see a little frustration over in the corner. And we see Hannah getting frustrated. We'll say, Hannah, don't you hit. While she's learning, we'll give a warning. But after she clearly knows, you don't hit around here, no more warnings. You're only weakening your lines of authority if you put a warning, then another warning. That's the third time someone told me, they heard of counting to 10. They tell the children, if you don't do what I say by the count of 10, I'm going to spank you. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's so foolish. That child will wait till 9 and then go do it. And who won? We all know who won. That child won. That child's still in control. No counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You do what you're told or you get taken care of. And that's where you'll establish the lines of authority in their mind. All right. I'm getting a little into the next topic, but we'll move right into it, and that is authority. And I've said a lot about it already. But you need to establish your authority in your home. Now, there are several ways to establish it, but using the rod is one of God's ordained ways to establish authority. If you use that rod properly, authority will not be distorted. The children will understand very clearly. Another point on authority, and this is a sweet and a blessed one, and if there's ever the Spirit of Jesus in anything, it's in this one. God wants parents to have quiet authority in their homes. Quiet authority. You shouldn't have to raise your voice. Quiet authority. There's something very powerful, very deeply influential in your home when you get a hold of this matter of quiet authority. Then you've established real authority in your home. If you've got to raise your voice to get somebody to move, you are losing some on authority. When you can establish quiet authority, here's what I mean by quiet authority. Just simply, would you please go do that? And it's done. Or maybe a child is starting to wiggle a little bit and you look out of the corner of your eye and that child catches your eye and gets right back in order. That is quiet authority. God wants every one of your children to respond to your authority just like that. Eye contact. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's God's will.
Yes.
And you can do it. You can do it very well. All you got to do is get rid of all those flimsy excuses you have. Warning one, warning two, warning number three. If I have to raise my voice one more time, you're going to get it. All that stuff. You'll put all that away and just simply say, son, I'd like you to take out the garbage. I don't... Go to your room, son. That's enough. I mean, that's enough. I don't feel... Go to your room, son. And the next time you say, son, would you please take out the garbage? Yes, sir. There'll be no question in his mind. Quiet authority. Oh, and ye shall find rest in your home. Sweet rest. And your children will be a blessing to you. And you'll love to have them around. And you'll wish you had 8 or 9 or 10 of them. You will. Quiet authority. It's the Spirit of Jesus. You meditate on it. I'm not going to preach on it. I could tonight. But you just meditate on Jesus and the kind of authority that He had while He was upon the earth. Just quiet, methodical authority. I mean, He didn't even holler at the demons. He just said, demon, go. That's it. He had authority. So, we establish authority when we establish obedience to the first quiet command. That's it. We establish authority when we establish obedience on eye contact. Obedience on eye contact. Just this evening, while we were singing, the one song that we were singing there, Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God, we were singing. I looked over the corner of my eye and I saw little Hannah over there and she was moving around like this and I just caught her. I caught her eye with my eye. Just like that. She knew. She knows. I'm getting out of order. Calm right down. Eye contact. Quiet commands. That is authority. And it's really not as hard as you think it would be. And it really doesn't take as long as you think it would take if you just be consistent. It'll all be taken care of in just a matter of a few days. And the last thing on authority, there needs to be a certain amount of healthy fear in your children toward you. Now the humanists will react to that one, but the book of Proverbs says it's right. There needs to be a certain amount of healthy, reverential fear in your children's heart toward you. Now you need to pour love all over them. That there needs to be that reverence there that when your eye looks at them and they recognize that they're out of order, they'll come right into line. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about a child that flinches every time you walk by and put your hand up because you smacked them in the face before and they're afraid you're going to hit them again. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. Just talking about a reverential fear of father and mother that they're going to obey you. And by the way, if you establish that quiet authority, you'll find out right away, my children respect me and they have some fear for me. And it's good for them. It's healthy. We need to fear God, don't we? All right, a little bit along the lines of training the young ones. And we're talking about from birth to about age 2. There's a lot that you can do. I feel so sorry for the parents who have the mentality that when the children get to be about 2, so that they can understand and communicate, they're going to start training them. Oh, you are missing, oh, so many opportunities if you have that kind of mentality. So I just want to share a little bit with you of how you can train your young ones, you young parents that are here, you young marrieds, maybe you've got a baby along on the way, or maybe you've got a little baby in your arms tonight, 4 or 5 months old. There is a lot that you can do already for that child. First of all, lots of sweet, loving words. Not silly words. Not silly words. Your child doesn't need any of that. They'll have enough of it on their own without you giving them any. Not foolishness. Not nonsense. Not giggly, foolish things, but sweet, kind, loving words. Mothers, you get more opportunities than father does if you nurse your children. Take those hours of time that you have that baby nursing at your side and fill that baby full of a sweet spirit. You see, words are not just words. Words have spirit behind them. I mean, I can go, come on, move out of the way. And there's a spirit behind my words. Or I can also say, oh, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. And there's sweet words. There's a sweet spirit that comes behind those words. And sisters, I would just encourage you, and fathers too, to do it. To spend much time feeding the spirit of your child with sweet and kind and gracious words. You'll develop their personality. You'll make them a happy child. You'll give them a bright countenance. They'll have a sweet spirit about them. They'll like people. They'll like sweet words. They'll like sweet people. They'll like God's people. If you'll take the time to just feed that little spirit of theirs with all kinds of sweet and loving and kind words. And by the way, and this is a warning to you, sometimes the children, they tend to get on the silly side. They like to see the baby laugh, so they'll do silly things to the baby to get the baby to laugh. That is not helping the baby. You are just breeding more foolishness in the heart of that child that you're going to spank out of them someday. So have mercy on the little baby and don't feed them full of a bunch of foolishness. Don't do it. But sweet words, oh, shower them with them. Here's something else. Read them the Bible. Read the Bible to them. You say, now wait a minute, they don't understand the Bible. They don't even know words yet. I don't care. The Bible is the Word of God, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Read them the Bible. Read it to them in a loving way. Sing scriptural songs to them while they're growing up. Teach them to love the Bible. I mean, get the Bible out in front of that 6-month-old baby, that 4-month-old baby, and hold it up there. And even before they understand the words, and just hold it in your hand and tell them, oh, we love the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. We love the Bible. Hannah loved the Bible. Oh, Hannah loves the Bible. Does Esther love the Bible? Oh, she'll start kicking her feet around when she sees the Bible. Oh, kiss the Bible. Yeah, oh, but you know how they kiss the Bible. With their whole mouth, you know, and they slobber all over it. But who cares? This is the book, brethren. I mean, this is the book that's going to guide their lives and change their lives. I'm set to convince them that it's the best book in the whole wide world. There's no book like this book. And I want them to be excited about it long before they even understand what it is. They'll just know, there's that book again. I like that book. That's an exciting book. Do it. It'll be a blessing to them. So teach them to love the Bible. Hold them tight when they get stiff. When you got a 4 or 5 month old baby and they're starting to exercise their will and stiffen up on you, why, you just get them, hold them like this. And take them for a little walk across the room, back and forth a few times. And every time they stiffen up a little bit more, why, you just stiffen up a little bit more. Until that child gives in. That's a good obedience training for that little child. It won't hurt the child one bit. I'm not talking about squeezing them. I'm just talking about holding them so that they cannot win in their resistance. That's good training for them. Here's something that I've done with the little children. When they were 1 month old, 2 weeks old, 6 weeks old, you know, and on up. I've held them and walked with them and just spoke to them in an authoritative way. A gentle but an authoritative way. I've told the children, Hannah, this is Papa. Papa's the boss. You do what Papa says. Hannah, you're going to be a good girl. This is Papa. You do what Papa says. And I'll just speak authoritative but gentle words to her. And listen, you try it, fathers, and you watch the face and the spirit of that child and see if it doesn't respond. I mean, she'll look up like this at me. Okay. She's getting some of it. Here's something else you can do for your little child. You can pray over that child to its hearing. Let that little baby hear you pour out your soul before God for it. That's another thing you mothers can do while you have that baby nursing the baby. Just pray over that baby. Pray God's will down upon that child. Pray God's Spirit work in that child's life. You've got the time to do it. If you're a nursing mother. And if you're not, well, you need to make the time somewhere. Here's another thing you can do. Fathers, you can preach to that baby. You can tell that little baby, the Bible is the Word of God. God loves you. God sent His Son Jesus to die for you. Some of you might think I'm crazy tonight, but we do all these things. We do them. I believe that you can influence that child long before that child can understand. I mean, John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb, didn't he? Here's something else you can do. And some of this gets more along the line of a 6 months old up to 2 years old. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of positive input into that child's life. Something that I think that we get frustrated with as parents, we think that 1 year old ought to learn the lesson right away. And many times it takes a while to communicate something into the heart of a 1 year old. But hundreds and hundreds of inputs. I do it so many times, you know, I do it without even thinking. When I give the little child something, I'll say, thank you. Because I want them to learn to say thank you someday. And all those kind of inputs. That's part of parenthood, is just constantly input into their lives. Constantly putting it in. A kind word here. An exhortation. Be nice. You know how a little child is. You know they always start by hitting you in the face and like that. Oh, we've done it with all of our children. As soon as they start hitting you in the face, you grab their hand and say, oh, we love Mama. We love Mama. I wonder how many hundred times Esther has heard that. She's had us get a hold of her hand and put it on the face and say, oh, we love Mama. We don't hit Mama. We love Mama. Hundreds of times. Just simple little things. But we're talking about training a child. See, I don't have time to do all that. A calm and a quiet home. That is of great need for those little children. They need to grow up in a calm and a quiet home. And one last thing, something that we've done with the little children as they were growing up. Oftentimes when we'd put them down for a nap, we'll put the Bible on cassette and let them go to sleep listening to the Bible. Very interesting what you get when they turn about 2 years old. All of a sudden they'll start quoting 4 or 5 verses to you right out of the Bible. That's what you'll get. Just put them to bed listening to the Bible. I mean, not the whole thing, like maybe the New Testament, maybe the book of John. And they just listen to it and listen to it and listen to it. All of a sudden, two and a half years old, they'll just, out of nowhere, they'll be walking around playing in their room or something. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, Mommy. Oh, yes, thank you. It does work. All right, we're going to shift directions here a little bit. I'd like to encourage you parents tonight to help your children to overcome the needs that they have in their lives. I believe that we've given you the tools that you need to now set out to help your children to overcome the needs that they have in their lives. And you don't have to do them all at once. But it's nice if you'd get started. Fathers, mothers, sit down and have a little session together and just get a piece of paper and write down the name of each one of your children and then just say, all right, what is a need that we can help Johnny with? Well, let's see. Johnny, he doesn't eat his food all gone. Okay, that's a good one. We'll put that down. How about Mary? What can we do for Mary? Well, Mary just will not go down for her nap in the afternoon. Okay. Mary down for her nap in the afternoon. And you just go down the list like that. And you make a list of the needs, of one need for each child, and then say, okay, now we're going for it. Johnny? Yes, Mama. Yes, Papa. You know how you have this problem with not eating your food all gone? Yes, he knows all about his problem. Yes, I know about that. Mama and Daddy are going to help you overcome this problem in your life. And we're not going to stop until it's all taken care of. Won't that be nice, Johnny? And then you sit Johnny down and you give Johnny the instruction that he needs. And you give him lots of positive encouragement and you let him know, Johnny, you know what's going to happen if you don't overcome this thing. We're going to have to spank you for it. We don't want to spank you. We'd like to see you overcome this without any spanking at all. Now, how are we going to do when we go to the supper table tonight? Johnny, you're going to eat your food all gone? Yes, Mama, I'm going to eat my food all gone. And you just put all that input in there. And then you sit down at the supper table that evening. And if Johnny doesn't eat his food all gone, and you're clear in your mind that Johnny knows what he's supposed to do, and it's clear in his mind, and he knows that he's disobeying, then you just take Johnny in the other room, and you give Johnny a spanking. And you tell him, Johnny, this, you're getting a spanking. You spank him just like I said. This may take you an hour to do. You spank him just like I said, and then you take him back in there, and you sit him down at the supper table and say, now, Johnny, you're going to eat your food. You may take a little bite of the food and put it in his mouth and he may just sit there. How many ever had that happen before? Everybody. They'll just sit there. They'll look your way. And if they see you looking their way, then they'll act like they're chewing. But they're not chewing and you know they're not chewing. Johnny, open up your mouth. Let me see what's in there. Oh, you're not eating your food. Johnny, I'm going to have to spank you again if you don't eat your food. I'm warning you. Okay. And then take Johnny out of the chair and back into the room and you give him another spanking. I think two's enough for one night. But the next morning when Johnny gets up, you just start all over on him. You know what, Johnny? Today's a new day and we're going to overcome this need in your life, Johnny. What does Mom and Daddy want you to do? And just go over that thing with him and go over it. And do him a favor and help him to overcome that need in his life. And when you get the list done, then sit down again and say, all right, now what are we going to go after? And help them to overcome them. You know what? A lot of the needs that our children grow up with that we never help them to overcome, they get stuck with them when they grow up. Then they have to overcome. Help them. Help them to overcome their needs. Bad habits. Unkindness in the home. Whatever it is. All right, now I want to share just a few helpful suggestions in the training and building a relationship with your children. And some of these are along the lines of maybe older children, 4 years old and on up. Something that has really been a blessing to us is we've had the children read through the Bible every year and listen to it being played on a cassette at the same time. You know, some of those big words in the Bible, a 6 or 7 year old who's just learned how to read, that's pretty big for them. But if you'll sit them down and put the cassette on and let them read while they're listening to it on cassette, they'll be able to read the Bible through every year. Our children have read through the Bible for so many years now. I think we started with Rebecca as soon as she learned how to read, and that was at about the age of 6. And it's just gone like that all along. Now Rebecca's almost 14. That's 8 times through the Bible by the age of 14. Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. Year in, year out. And it's not boring to them. It's on cassette. They have to move along because the cassette keeps moving along. Their mind doesn't wander because they have to keep their mind there or they'll lose their place. It works very well. We found it to be a benefit. Also, you can encourage your children to memorize scriptures. A child can memorize a verse a day without very much trouble at all. A child, 6, 7 years old, they can memorize a verse a day with very little trouble at all. And let's just say, yours, maybe they can't. Okay, then let them memorize a verse every other day. That's about 160 verses in a year. If you average 30 verses per chapter, that's 5 chapters of the Bible in 1 year. That means if you just guide them and help them to be consistent in that, they could memorize the Sermon on the Mount, Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 in 1 year. I'd like to encourage you to do that. It's very possible. Children are very smart. They can memorize so quickly. You start adding that up in 10 years. How many chapters of the Bible that becomes. You see, if that little mind from birth all the way up to adulthood is just filled full of God's Word and God's ways, do you suppose that'll have any effect upon the behavior of your child? I believe it'll have a tremendous effect upon their behavior. Even before they're converted, fill their minds with the Word of God. The Jewish fathers did it. Those children, by the age of 5 or 6, could quote Psalm 119. Has 170 verses in it. 140 I wills in Psalm 119. I wonder why they chose Psalm 119. Here's something else that's helpful in building a relationship with your children. Plan a special time with each child. Maybe you can't do it every week. Maybe you can just do it once a month. But plan it so that it happens. If you plan it, it'll happen. If you don't plan it, it'll never happen. But just plan a special time with your children. A 30-minute time. Maybe you just go for a walk with them. A lot of you mothers like to go for a walk. Well, you just tell the children, you're going for a walk with me today. And get a hold of that child's hand and just go for a walk. And while you walk, just ask them, well, what would you like to talk about today? Have any struggles? What would you like to be when you grow up? Who are your heroes? What did you think of the sermon on Sunday? Oh, so many things you can talk about. And build a very close relationship with each child by just spending a few minutes. Quality time with them. Susanna Wesley spent a half an hour with each one of her children every week. I don't know how she did it, but she did it. So have a special time that you can be with your children and get to know them and talk to them. And then when they're teenagers, they'll come and talk to you. When they've got some real struggles that they're facing and they don't know what to do, they'll know, hey, I can go talk to Dad. I can go talk to Mom. They'll hear me. You'll be their friend and they'll come to you and they'll share the struggles of their heart and you'll save them from tragedies. And many shake their heads. Here's another thing that may help you. Have a special time that you train the smaller children. Here's what happens in our homes. We that have bigger families, you start out with these small children. You have 1 or 2 small children and you center your devotions around them. And those small children, they get that word sharpened real good to them. I mean, you sharpen it real good and put it down on their level and they get it. But those small children, they get bigger and more mature and more intelligent and they're able to think more. And as the children get older, the devotions get richer and deeper and more meaningful, don't they, fathers? But what about these other little ones that are growing along here? Most of the time, we're shooting way over their head. And the way that we got these to be so rich in the Bible was back here when they were 3 and 4 years old. We got the Bible down on their level and told them to love the Bible and all the simple little lessons we gave them is what put some depth into their lives so that now we can have a rich Bible study with them. But the little ones back down here, it's going right over their heads. I would encourage you in that one. Something you can do with the middle-aged children, if I can use that term, 4 years old, 5 years old, before they can read, is you can put them down for their naps and let them listen to the Bible. We found our children that age, many times they'll lay awake the whole 30 minutes while the Bible tape is on, just like this on their bed, and then go to sleep when the Bible tape's over. That won't hurt them, will it? Just lay there and listen to the Bible. You can read Bible stories to your children. You can read stories that talk about godly character to your children. If you have older children, 9, 10 years old enough, you can get biographies and read them to your children. Our children need heroes, and they will make heroes. We may as well give them some. They will have them. Every child will have heroes. Let's give them some heroes. And besides, there's nothing more rich and adventurous to their imaginative minds than to read them some biography about some missionary who stood out in the middle of a field when a lion went by. And oh, listen, their imaginations will just enjoy those biographies like that. And what does it do? It just tells them Christianity is exciting. There's nothing more exciting than Christianity. Look at this missionary. Look at this preacher. Look at this woman who ran an orphanage. Look at this and look at that. It's good for them. It'll just stimulate good things in their minds. Sometimes we just sit around and listen to a sermon. I'll find a sermon that I like and I'll tell the children, "Hey, I want you to hear this sermon." And we'll just get together and sit down and put the tape on and just sit around in the family room and listen to a sermon together. Children have heard many sermons. Another thing that we found to be a blessing is occasionally just to take a child on an outing. Go to the ice cream shop and get them an ice cream cone and ask them some questions about life. Open up conversation. Another thing that we've found to be a real blessing to our children is to help them to have a scheduled life. Get up at this time, go to bed at this time, we eat at this time. Help them to have a scheduled life. We found that to be a blessing to our children. Another thing that we found to be a real help is we've made meal times family building times. That's a beautiful time to build the family. We're all gathered around together. Sometimes we've been away from each other. Now we're sitting around the table together. It's a beautiful opportunity to share blessings or ask, "What did you do today? And how did things go for you today? How are things on the job for the ones maybe that went away to work?" It's just a beautiful time to relate and build the family and share scriptural principles as discussion opens up about this or that. Just for father to open up and share this scriptural principle or share this blessing and tell about something that happened over here. Mealtime is family building time. It's a very sad thing if you miss that time. If mealtime is just sit down and eat time, you're missing something. It's a beautiful opportunity. Game night. Just sit around with the family in the evening and play some board games with the purpose in mind of building the relationships with your children. They just love it. They love playing a board game with mom and dad. Don't they? They do. They just treasure it. They love to beat us too, don't they? That's all right. Sometimes we just sit and talk. Just sit and talk. Sunday afternoon, that happens a lot. Just sit and talk. Everybody sits around in a circle in the family room and they just share this and that. And sometimes the children will say, "Papa, couldn't we just sit and talk tonight? Let's just sit around and talk." That's not a waste of time, brothers and sisters. That is powerful time. When you've got those children communicating and communicating back and forth, you've got them in a good place. And last of all, on this point, think of creative ways that you can build memories into your family heritage. Memories. Things that they'll remember after you're gone. I would recommend it. Those special things that you did together. Anything. You know, I remember those walks that Mom used to take us on. I remember those Thanksgiving meals at our house. Oh, what a blessing they were. I remember that Christmas Eve. Every Christmas Eve, Father would sit down and read the scriptures out of the book of Luke and we'd have eggnog together and just have a nice fellowship together. Any of those kind of holy things that you can build some memories in your children's minds, I recommend it. I mean, they'll live off of them after you're gone. They'll remember them. They'll be sweet. They'll sit down and tell their children about it. Build memories. All right, just a few more here, and I titled these miscellaneous because I didn't know where else to categorize them. Someone said, as a question, What do you do if your children are different? Well, most children are different. Some are strong-willed. Some are not so strong-willed. Some are zealous. Others are more passive. Children are very different. But we have to believe that God gave us the answers to minister to all the different needs of our different children. But here's what you need. And I like this. If all of our children were exactly the same, we'd just take the rule book and use it like a rule book. But because our children are very different, we have to take the Word of God and bring it before our God and in earnest prayer seek His wisdom to know how to deal with each and every individual child. See, God wants to help us to raise our children. We're not in this alone. But if they were all exactly the same, we'd just take the rules and go after it. But they're not exactly the same. They have different needs. They have different temperaments, if I could use that term, or personalities. They're different. Some principles you may use more than other principles on different children. God is the only one who can give you the wisdom to know how much this child needs and how much this child needs. So, you're stuck. You're stuck on God. You're going to have to walk with God if you want the answer to those problems that seem a little bit hard to find. God, He wants to raise your children far more than you do. Another little statement. You cannot have too high of a standard as long as you pour love all over your children. I think from what we taught this week, showing the balance between discipline, proper interesting teaching, and an enthusiastic example, those three put together, I say you cannot have too high of a standard as long as you pour love all over it. Take your children as far as you can. Another miscellaneous point. I'd just like to emphasize here among us the importance and the blessing of a simple life. To raise these children the way we've been talking this week. A simple life, brethren. Don't let that fast-moving society out there get a hold of you too much. It'll go against the very grain of what I've been teaching all week long. A simple life. Don't throw the simple life away. You need it. Your children need it. I mean, we left the city and came out here for it because as these principles were dawning upon our hearts, we took a look at city life and fast life and the fast-moving society and we said, this does not line up with raising children. Well, I would just like to encourage you. That simple life that many of you did have, it had a lot to do with where you are today. Don't throw it away. In fact, the standard we've lifted this week will demand that you keep that life simple so that you can keep pouring into your children the things that were poured into you. Another thought. Don't fill your children's lives with don'ts. Fill their lives with do's. You can do either one. You can, if you'll be a leader, you can give your children so many things to do that you won't have a lot of don'ts because there won't be any time for them. Understand what I'm saying? The principle? Fill their lives with many good things to do. You won't have as many don'ts to give to them. And the last point this evening is this. Stretch your children. Stretch your children. Never be satisfied where they are. But always be stretching them onward. Stretch them. You don't have to get there overnight. But you do need to know where you're going. Get your sights set and then stretch them. What do I mean by stretching them? I mean when they've learned to do this, move them on to this. When they've learned to come, then stretch them to coming when they're enjoying their toys. When they've learned to come when they're enjoying their toys, Stretch them to come when you call them when they're playing with their best friend. You see what I'm saying? You start over here with the command to come when I say come. Then you move over here and you make it harder. You come when I say come, even if you're enjoying playing with your toys. Then when they've learned that, you stretch them over here to learn to come when I say come, even though you're having fun with one of your friends. Stretching them. Always stretching them. Never satisfied with where they're at, but always stretching them. And I don't mean in a way that discourages the children. But always moving on, moving on, moving on. I like to say it this way, with this illustration. As we were having class at home one day, we came upon the illustration how a man trained a tiger to walk on a wire 7 feet in the air. Now that's quite a feat for a tiger to climb up on a platform and walk across on a wire 7 feet in the air over to the other side of the platform and then sit down. But the way that that trainer taught that tiger to walk on that wire is the same way that we train our children, if we'll get a hold of it. Here's how he starts. He takes a board, like a 2x4, and lays it flat on the ground. And he trains the tiger to walk on that flat 2x4. Back and forth he goes. He might run that tiger on that board 200 times. Back and forth on that board he'll go. And when he feels that tiger's got that part of it down, then he'll flip the board up on its edge and put some support on it. And then the tiger walks on the board on its edge, back and forth and back and forth, until he's got that tiger well trained to walk on the edge of that board, all at his command. Then they stretch a wire over the top of the edge of the board. And the tiger starts walking on the edge of the board with the wire stretched over the top of it. Back and forth he goes with that tiger. He might go 200 times over that thing until that tiger has the feel of that wire real well and he knows how it feels under his feet. And then that tiger trainer will raise that wire about an inch off of that board and get that tiger to walk on that wire again. And back and forth they'll go. And back and forth a couple hundred more times. And then he'll raise that wire about a foot off the ground. And back and forth he'll go. And finally he'll have that wire 7 feet up into the air. And the tiger will go up the platform and step out on that wire and walk all the way to the other side. And sit down and stand up and walk all the way to the other side and sit down again. That's what I mean by stretching your children. See, the trainer knew where he was going, didn't he? And he broke what seemingly was an impossible task. He broke it down into small, achievable goals. And he stretched that tiger along. And then he raised the standard a little higher. And then he stretched that tiger along again and raised the standard a little higher and stretched the tiger along. Brothers and sisters, get some goals for your children and then break it down into simple, achievable goals. Encourage the children to achieve those achievable goals and stretch them and stretch them and stretch them. That's how you train children. And really, it never stops. It never stops. I mean, once you get over the simple things, when you get over the simple things and your children are converted and they're listening to the voice of God, then there's all kinds of lessons in the Christian life for them to learn. I never stop. I'm always a little further, a little further. Come on. I'm never satisfied. And my children would say it. Papa's never satisfied. He's always going a little further, a little bit further. Yes, I bless them and I encourage them for every success they have, but I'm never satisfied to say, all right, now you're okay. No! There's more to go. There's more to learn. In fact, the day that we studied this at home, right in the middle of the lesson, the children just burst out in laughter. I said, well, what? They said, Papa, "That's what you've been doing to us for years," they said. I said, "You're right. That's exactly what I've been doing to you. Stretch your children. Get a goal. Get a goal in your mind, brethren. I want my sons to be men. Let's see now. If I want my son to be a man, I can't expect him to get behind the vehicle of a car and drive. But I can teach him how to get his hands dirty while he's little. And I can teach him to get blisters on his hands while he's little. And I can teach him to fling the blood off when he cuts his finger while he's little. I can do that." And little by little by little, you develop a man by doing those things. And then when he's grown up, he'll smash his finger with a hammer and put it in his mouth for a minute and go on and do his work. Get you some goals. Break them down into simple, achievable goals. And then stretch those children. And that applies to every area. The sky's the limit. However much you want to train them, it's there. Don't forget that tiger. And don't forget, you don't have to get there overnight. If you've got a small child in your arms tonight, you've got 20 years. 365 days times 20. You don't have to get there overnight. But brothers and sisters, you do need to know where you're going. Shall we kneel together for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight in Jesus' name. Oh God, I thank You for the privilege, for the gift of the children that You've given. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, of learning how to train them. Thank You for the challenge of it. Oh God, I just pray tonight. Lord, I pray tonight again that You'd give these dear people a vision. Give them a vision, Lord, of the potential that is in their homes. Oh, Father, is there not a cause? Is there not a need for somebody to raise up some godly young men and godly young ladies who will work for God and be a blessing to society? Oh, Father, is there not a need? Yes, there is. I pray, Father, I pray that You'll stir in our hearts tonight. I pray, O God, that You'll stir some holy determination in the fathers and the mothers that are in this room. God, I just commit each family into Your hands tonight. And I pray, may they stretch their children to be fine young men and women for God someday.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.